That's right. It's a new world order, the Hugh World Order. Week one of the 2016 NFL season, the first of Hugh Jackson as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns is upon us. Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zgur, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea with you today, getting you ready for this week for the Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, we know now a lot has happened in the National Football League. It will be Carson Wentz under center for the Eagles. We know the Browns 53-man roster as well. And we've got basically the practice squad is finalized. The 53-man roster is finalized. A new depth chart has been released. But obviously a great holiday weekend. Hope everybody enjoyed their holiday weekend. But now this team is set. Preseason games are over. As the man walks by right now, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And now it's time to get out there and play some real football. And we're going to get into what it means about Carson Wentz starting. But let's just talk about the 53-man roster. For the most part, we knew there were going to be changes. We said even on Dog Pound Report about five. They did sign five guys. That is the highest number.
We didn't know anything either.
In the National Football League, we did not know anything.
We're just in the building.
Yes. But that's all. That is all we knew. I think the biggest surprise for me was that all four rookie wide receivers made it, and Taylor Gabriel and Marlon Moore didn't. I know that those are the closest calls for the team as well.
Yeah, I really believe, and I continually said this more so about Seth the Valve, you know, when he was essentially hurt for the most of training camp and not really able to prove is he the player they thought he was in drafting him here to Cleveland. I thought we were going to learn the mentality of Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, as well as Hugh Jackson, as they collaboratively put together their first 53-man roster. And at this point right now, I don't want to say regardless of what you do in training camp, but if you are brought in by this regime via the draft and are a young player, you will get the nod to spend more time with this experienced coaching staff and develop in the orange and brown. That is completely fact. Whereas we thought Connor Hamlet was, you know, outplaying being an unrestricted free agent drafted by someone else, really not our own, brought here, playing well throughout camp, was going to get the nod and ultimately ended up on our practice squad.
Yep.
But could have very likely have been on our active roster, and we take the risk to put DeValve on our practice squad and clear waivers. But we flipped it. So they are putting a significant amount of emphasis on developing their own, and majority and almost all of them being on our active roster is a surprise to me.
Yeah, and the guys that we thought might make the team, like you pointed out there, ended up on the practice squad. Terrell Watson ended up on the practice squad. Trey Caldwell ended up back on the practice squad. 13 of the 14 rookies made it, and there's a lot of talk out there today, and I'm just going to say it one last time because I don't think it's something that even really needs to be debated, that the Browns are tanking. And I know it's semantics. People are going to say it's semantics, that they're not trying to win. They are trying to win. They're not intentionally trying to lose and get the first pick. We talked about that with Mike Silver. Hugh Jackson would not stand for that. Sashi Brown wouldn't stand for that. These players would not stand for that. They're professionals. I think what they're trying to do is, as the analogy I've been using, is clean up an oil spill. There was an oil spill here. You got to clean it up. You don't just automatically get to have, once you decide, hey, I'm going to clean it up, it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes some progress, takes some time. They're working through it, but they're trying to make sure that they get the best young guys in place so that it can be a whole new future. And just because you have veterans here doesn't mean you're winning. You had the oldest and most expensive defense in the NFL last year, and you went 3-13. This year, you have the youngest defense in the NFL. So in one season, you've turned that over. The second youngest roster in the National Football League. They've got a bunch of rookies on this team. So do the Seattle Seahawks. The difference is those Seattle Seahawks veterans that they kept are elite players.
And for the most part, drafted by their own as well.
Russell Wilson, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman.
Wagner.
Bobby Wagner. All drafted by them.
Correct.
Yes. And then it becomes easier to bring in some other guys as well. But my point is, this isn't a tank. This is a team that was 3-13 a year ago and is trying to get out of that rut that it has been in since 1999, basically.
And to do so, you have to do something different.
Yeah. And the truth is, their plan may be the absolute right plan. It's only going to be successful if they draft well and develop this talent.
Yes, and even to think, and it's something that you looked up prior to jumping on the radio today, you did it about 10, 15 minutes ago, was we now know that Carson Wentz will open as the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, barring an injury in the next 4 days, right? the Philadelphia, we have in Vegas, who you know you trust, who the you know the kid trusts as a barometer of what people are thinking and what people are saying, because there's credits on the line.
Sure.
And the line for that football game, this is not so much having to do with just Carson Wentz, but the fact that we did keep 14 rookies, you know, and we are a young, inexperienced team, and yet in a matter of just a couple days, the line has gone down from, what did you say, 6.5 to 4. So other people are taking notice, and the week one opener, as we're quote-unquote expected to tank and lose to get the number one overall pick, we have a better shot now with against Carson Wentz and with the roster that we kept than we did a week ago.
Yeah, it's gone from 6.5 to 4, the line there. Carson Wentz will start for them, and obviously there were the comments by Paul DePodesta that have kind of recirculated about how the Browns didn't think he was a top 20 guy. I get all the talk, and I really understand that, you know, people are upset about it and or that it's motivation, et cetera. The fact is, the Browns said all you needed to know about who they thought was a franchise quarterback in this draft when they moved out of the number two spot. You don't need comments behind that. And one of the lessons, they're either going to be proven correct or incorrect on that one, but they felt that RG3 was the gamble to take this year over Wentz. And at least they didn't reach for something that they didn't believe was,
right,
like a Christian Ponder or a Blaine Gabbert.
Correct. And the fact what happens on September 11th has very little to do on whether they're correct or incorrect. And I hope people find that out. If for whatever reason the Cleveland Browns go there and Carson Wentz has a good day or the Eagles win, some people will perceive it as Carson Wentz had a good day, ha, 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 in the face of the Cleveland Browns, when we know this better than anybody. When you look at Barkevious Mingo and Justin Gilbert, you need 2 years in some cases to really figure out who these rookie players are and can they become the future of your franchise. So one game is not going to determine Carson Wentz's future.
No.
And to be very honest with you, even with the Tony Romo injury at quarterback in Dallas, the Philadelphia Eagles are still the bottom dweller of that division, looking up at everybody else, at least as we start this football season.
And when you look at, you know, let's talk about Carson Wentz. He's getting the start there. But actually, before we'll do that, let's talk a little bit about this team, the 53-man team, and, of course, the first depth chart that was released, as they actually just came in right now. Hot off the presses.
They are actually still warm.
They are warm. They are hot off the presses here for this game. The Browns depth chart, again, it's unofficial. This is a depth chart that is released by the PR staff, not the coaches. So it's an unofficial depth chart, but gives you an idea of what they're looking at and what they're thinking here for this football team going into this first game. And we'll go through it because it is the 53-man roster, and we'll talk about where we were on these positions and what ended up happening. So on offense, at quarterback, RG3, McCown, Cody Kessler, exactly as expected.
Correct.
Your starting wide receivers are going to be Corey Coleman, Terrell Pryor with Andrew Hawkins in the slot, and then the backups will be Lewis, Peyton, and Higgins, as expected, although I was surprised Peyton made it, but they decided to go with all the rookies at wide receiver. On the offensive line, it is the 8 guys that you and I said, exactly. Thomas Petonio, Irving Greco, Pastore, backed up by Drango Coleman and Alvin Bailey. Mm-hmm. And then at the running back position, Crow and Duke Johnson. One of the changes here, George Atkinson III comes to the team. George Atkinson III, who was with the Oakland Raiders in the preseason, was their leading rusher, had a kick return for 81 yards in the preseason as well. And he's the guy that is going to come in and be your, I think, probably going to be one of the top kick returners if he is active here for this team. So he was the guy that did a good job there in preseason, and now he is here with the Cleveland Browns, former Notre Dame product in his first year, George Atkinson III. So that's the offense. Oh, and the tight ends, as we talked about, the three of them, Hamlet now being on the practice squad.
Oh, wait, did we call that shot too?
We did. It was good. It was
pretty
good.
Much.
We were close. I mean, a lot of change. We knew there were going to be changes, and for the most part, we thought Terrell Watson would be a spot of change. He did get left off after initially making the 53, and he's now back on the Browns practice squad. On the defensive line for your Browns, your starters are going to be Xavier Cooper, Danny Shelton, John Hughes, per this depth chart. Backups, Nassib Meter, Paia, and now they added a 7th D lineman, Tyrone Holmes, who they brought in from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Your linebackers, the starters listed on this depth chart, Emmanuel Ogba and Joe Schobert ahead of Nate Orchard. Again, this is unofficial, but just something that certainly stood out to me and was interesting to see. What do you make of that, Matt Wilson?
I don't make much of it at all. And I think the key word in your sentences as we, you know, we list off this is the fact that it is unofficial. So, and I think it's PR's best effort to put together a depth chart to produce for the league, for us as analysts and for everybody else. But I would say that the Schobert Orchard thing is, if they could put a, you know, kind of like a forward slash, it would be, you know, Orchard, Schobert, Schobert, Orchard. And I think at this point right now, maybe Joe Schobert has done enough. And I know on Dogma Pound Report on Sunday, you know, we had the comments from Joe Schobert. He's just like, I'm just taking it all in. I don't really know what to expect. I know I've got to be an animal on special teams. And based on this depth chart, maybe he does get the nod as an outside pass rusher. And how much of that has to do with maybe some of the shots that we saw with Orchard playing into the fourth quarter of that Chicago Bears game, where they like Schobert a little bit better, maybe in some of that 4-3 overhang stuff to get him on the field, because he's played both inside linebacker and outside linebacker at Wisconsin, yep, where Orchard was a hand-on-the-ground defensive end at Utah.
Yep.
So maybe just a little bit more versatility, and that's what we knew when drafting this guy.
And part of the thing, too, is this depth chart is still listed in a traditional 3-4 defense. We're going to see a lot of four-man fronts with Nassib up there with Emmanuel Agba. Your defensive backs, Joe Hayden, Jamar Taylor, are listed as your starting corners. Tremont Williams, Tracy Howard, the backups. And then two guys that they added to the 53, Brian Body Calhoun and Marcus Burley, were added to that spot. Four safeties, Poyer, Campbell, Kindred, and Don Jones, who we talked about making it as a special teams guy all along. And, of course, Raheem Moore. At that point, they decided to move on from Raheem Moore there. Go with the four safeties, six corners, 10 total defensive backs. It would start off 5-5. Your punter, Britton Colquitt, signed from the Denver Broncos.
I love that pick. I love that pickup, by the way.
I do, too. You've got Patrick Murray as your kicker, Charlie Hewlett, your specialist. So that is your 53-man roster. Your practice squad for the Browns, a lot of familiar names here. You've got Trey Caldwell, Dan France, Connor Hamlett, Darius Jennings, Terrell Watson, Michael Pilardi, the punter, who came out and averaged 48.6 per kick in that preseason game. He's back on the practice squad. Is that unusual?
It is unusual. And I don't know the track record on Britton Colquitt. Maybe there's, you know, an injury that has happened in the last calendar year that may give you a little bit of a concern, but I can't say that's going to last very long. Maybe we just kept the best of what was left.
So, and then filling it out, as you get to have 10 guys on here, offensive lineman Anthony Fabiano, quarterback Kevin Hogan, who knows Pep Hamilton from Stanford, defensive back Ed Reynolds, defensive lineman Gabe Wright. So of the guys on the practice squad, six of them were with the Browns for the majority of the offseason. Pilardi obviously just coming in. But these are that's your practice squad, your 53-man roster. Again, the one thing that stood out to everybody is Schobert over Orchard on the depth chart. I think you're going to see a lot of four-man fronts. I think you're going to see a lot of Agba and Nassib on the field together. Paella, by the way, Paella is listed as a defensive end, not the backup nose tackle. He's a guy who is the most comfortable, he said, is a 4-3 defensive tackle, which I think he'll have the opportunity to play quite a bit.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things this weekend was, you know, as the world here in Cleveland and Berea with the Cleveland Browns doesn't stop, as we enjoy our weekend, I just love, you know, the comments that we get from, especially from some of the practice squad players that were added, some of the active roster guys. You know, how do we say his name? Paella?
Paella.
Paella, the comments from Paella, and Paella. It's like, well, you know, what's the number one thing that you bring? And it's playing big-time football and a lot of football over the course of his six-year career. And when you look at that defensive line room, you've got Xavier Cooper, year two, Danny Shelton, year two. You know, John Hughes has been a rotational guy. You've got Jamie Meter, year two. You've got Carl Nassib, who's a rookie. So Paella brings a boatload of experience that we might have lost in Dez Bryant, and he fills a very large void as another able body who's been there and done that, but also can lead by example. And I think a fresh start for him after making a bunch of money, this might have been something that kind of like can spark the second wave of his career.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is everybody, all the talk of how young this team is. By the way, the backup linebackers, Nate Orchard and Corey Lemonnier, came over. It was supposed to be a very good player with the 49ers. It did not work out for him, and you hope that Lemonnier can be better here. And the inside backers, Tank Carter, Scooby Wright, actually listed as the backups, Dominique Alexander listed with the third.
And
team.
The reason why is because, you know, Scooby Wright is a Mike. DeMario Davis is our Mike backer, and Scooby Wright is our backup. And I think when you look at, and you and I can probably do this just simply by watching film and for us being in the building looking at these guys. You look at Scooby Wright and you go, he's a Mike backer. Because a Mike backer is, I hate to say this, but it's a Mike backer is the bruiser.
Yep.
And the one knock against Scooby Wright was a little undersized and not the greatest athlete, but just productive on the football field. And I think that's something you saw out of him, especially with the goal line stand against the Chicago Bears. And then you dig into the makeup of the weak inside linebacker in this defense, Christian Kirksey. Rangy, lanky, was a cover guy prior to getting his opportunity to start this year. Tank Carter, you know, never really been over 235 pounds and, you know, ever in his career. Not the thumper. He's going to be a little bit more the finesse guy, make a bunch of tackles. And then Dominique Alexander, you know, he's a guy that we knew going into camp, played a lot of football at Oklahoma, but undersized, very productive, very athletic, led the team in tackles in the preseason, and we saw him all over the field, both on defense and special teams. And I think what solidified his role on this team is the fact that he was able to be as productive as an undrafted free agent on limited opportunities, but earned those as the preseason games went on. And we started seeing him immediately after the ones would come out with Tank Carter, you know, opposite him. So I love the athleticism we have in the linebacker room.
I do too. And so you're looking at this team and this roster, and I know everybody's talking about how young the Cleveland Browns are, but here's interesting. When you look at the starters on this depth chart, there are only three rookie starters, Coleman, Ogba, Joe Schobert. And when you look at the starters, you've got two guys in their 10th year, Joe Thomas, Tremont Williams, two in their 9th year, Barnage and Greco, two in their 7th year, which would be Cole Quinton Hayden. In the Hawkins, if you count him as a starter when they go three wide, he's in this 6th year. Paya in his 6th year as well. 5th year, DeMario Davis, RG3, John Hughes, all listed as starters. 4th year, Pastor, Poyer, Terrell Pryor, Jamar Taylor listed as starters. 3rd year, Betonio, Crow, Kirksey listed as starters. And then from your 2nd year guys listed as starters, you just have Campbell, you have Cooper, you have Irving, you have Malcolm Johnson, Danny Shelton. So that's 5. So there are only really 3 young guys that are truly starting for this team on the rookies, 8 in their 1st or 2nd year starting for this team. Interesting, in my opinion, to see that they are that young, but there still are veterans here on
veterans.
This team. Oh, veteran. But it is a very young team, 2nd youngest in the National Football League. And if you were to take Josh McCown off of this team, it would be the youngest team in the National Football League by half of a year.
And with all that being said, who's the other young? Who is the youngest team in the NFL?
Currently right now, it's the Los Angeles Rams.
Los Angeles Rams, who, again, are doing their very best to be as competitive as they possibly can in their division. And essentially, maybe outside of the San Francisco 49ers will probably be, you know, the two of them fighting for that bottom spot in their division. But they've got some core pieces. You drafted Jared Goff. You've got Todd Gurley. You've got some defensive pieces from drafting as high as they did for so long. But when you're that young, and I hate to say it, is you need to format and create realistic expectations, because young football teams over the course of time, and this is an analytic that I don't know, but the bottom 5 youngest teams in the NFL, I'd be very curious to see over the last 5 years how successful they were. You know, are these young teams winning double digit games every year? I doubt that that's true. So as a part of the, you know, for you and I, you know, we're optimistic about the signs that we're going to see that we're pointed in the right direction. But I think for the Dog Pound and the fans of the Cleveland Browns, you can't say it's going to happen overnight. And that's why, you know, trusting in what we say to see this young talent playing, learning, making mistakes, making those flash plays, but ultimately knowing that this year is an opportunity for them to get all that experience, get all the kinks out of the hoses, make those mistakes, and they become the second-year players next year, and we draft another double-digit rookie class.
And that's what you got it right. Keep developing, and yes, this is a young team, and yes, they are going to be amongst the youngest in the National Football League, but it is a team that will hopefully, as you've said, be developing, and you'll see some signs. Now, they're going to get an opportunity right out of the gate against Carson Wentz. When we come back, we're going to hear from head coach Hugh Jackson, and we will talk about what the Browns need to do against a rookie quarterback who really, this will be the 2nd time in his career that he has lined up against another National League Football League team. Once in the preseason, got hurt in that game, didn't play the rest of the preseason, and now he will go against Cleveland Browns. Ray Horton has to be foaming at the mouth.
Fresh meat, baby.
Yes, to go after him. We'll talk about what that means from a defensive standpoint when we come back on CBD. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And one of the things that you heard in one of those commercials, if you're listening, was all about Where I'm From apparel. Fans, head to browns.whereimfrom.com to enter for your chance to win an autographed Joe Hayden t-shirt and a Where I'm From apparel gift pack. The winner will be selected on Sunday mornings before the game. These are great shirts. You and I got some of them.
Love my shirt.
Love them. And they're so soft. They're very comfortable. I like the one that's got the bridge, like the Cleveland bridge says Cleveland on. They have ones for the dog pound.
And the old school
all
brown
kinds
shirts.
Of old school brown shirts.
I mean, you would have like when you and I were probably Browns fans for the first time was when the shirts that we have from Where I'm From were actually wearing when we're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. So they have thrown it back and brought it all the way back, and they are awesome.
They are awesome. It's an Ohio-born and raised company that's headquartered in Columbus, 10 locations at malls throughout the state of Ohio, 5 here in Northeast Ohio, Beechwood Place, South Park Mall, Great Lakes Mall, Summit Mall, and Belden Village Mall. And as we talked about, the Cleveland Browns line, that's available exclusively in the Pro Shop and pregame on Dog Pound Drive. So definitely check that out. They got a Cardiac Kid shirt, a Muni Lot shirt, a Here We Go Brownie shirt, a Retro Helmet shirt, and lots of great Cleveland stuff. So be sure to go ahead and check that out. 216-578-0850 is the way to get on board with us here on CBD. Talk about this roster. Talk about getting ready for Carson Wentz, which we'll do in a second. But first, let's hear from the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson.
How are we doing today? What do we have?
Well, first of all, you guys are going to be starting against Carson Wentz. So can you, Doug Peterson announced that. So.
Oh, I didn't even know that. And honestly, it's not really about Philadelphia. It's really about our football team. So, they're going to do what they do, and we got to do what we got to do. So we're just trying to get better and get ready to play in a big game on Sunday.
Hey, Hugh, you knew you guys were going to be young, and the roster overhaul, I think you got 17 rookies, et cetera. Are you as young as you thought you would be going in?
I knew we had a chance to be. I didn't know how young we'd be. But, we have what we have. I'm excited about the guys we have. We just got to coach them up, get them better.
I know what you said about Wentz, but since he didn't play much in preseason, are you going to have to rely on all his college tape?
I don't look at it like that. I'm sure me and Ray had discussed what we need to do, but at the same time, I'm more worried about our football team. I'm not so much worried about Philadelphia. They have a good team. They have good defense. I know that for sure. And they have good players on offense. And Carson's a very talented young man, but at the same time, it's not going to be about them. It's going to be about us. It's about our focus and our preparation and how we go through our process during the week to get ready to play.
Hugh, you worked them out, interviewed them. Why didn't you draft them?
We went another direction.
We talked Friday. You said that you liked all the rookie receivers before mm-hmm. the cuts, and then you obviously kept them all. Was it kind of a tough decision deciding to keep four young guys in one position group? And how do you get? Can they be ready to go week one?
Absolutely, it was hard. Because we had some other guys that were good players, but at the same time, we drafted them for a reason. And those guys have shown the ability, whether on the practice field or in games, that they can play. So we made a decision to keep them, and our job is to coach them and get these guys better.
Well, it's beginning of preparations for Philadelphia, just in general. How ready do you feel? How ready do you think RG3 is?
Good. I thought we had a good work today. Tomorrow they're off, and we'll come back Wednesday and get into our normal game week. So we've had a day or two of extra preparation, just get our guys back out running. We really put everything in as far as game plan by Wednesday. But again, it's about our team, and I think RG will be ready to play, and we got to be ready to play everywhere, offense, defense, and special teams.
Hey Hugh, since this is your second opener as a head coach, how have you changed from 2011?
I think I'm a lot calmer. Again, I probably was probably about to lose my mind the first time I did this, but I think I get it now. I understand the process of it, and understand really what we're trying to accomplish, which really keeps you calm during the week. I think what's really important for our football team, they need to see me be very consistent, week in and week out, and I'm not. Like I said the other day, we're not blinking. We're just going to keep getting better, and we're going to keep working, and we got a big game this week, and we're looking forward to it.
You strike me as a confident guy. Confidence from that year in Oakland and having some success out there?
I hope I always had it. That's just the way I am. Thank God for that. I'm very grateful for my mom and my dad for instilling that in me. Because at the end of the day, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody, it's not up to everybody else to believe in. You got to believe in yourself. And I truly believe in what we're doing here and how we're doing it. We just got to go prove it and do it on a consistent basis.
Hugh,
you? What are your expectations with the five new guys going into week one and how much you can potentially use them?
Well, obviously, we'll try to get them up to speed as fast as we can, and we'll make that determination as we go through during the week and see where they are. And if they can help contribute, some's going to have to, and some don't have to right away. So we'll figure that out as we go.
Well, what were your thoughts on Kevin Hogan and kind of the philosophy for bringing him aboard?
We're going to always keep searching. You know, I've always said that, so that's not going to change. You know, I'm happy with the guys we have here, but we always want to continue to extend ourselves that way. So we keep taking looks at guys and see what's the best fit as you move forward. I just think that's important for our football team because we are young, and we're trying to put as many talented players on our team as we can.
How would you compare Cody Kessler's skill set to Kevin Hogan's skill set?
I don't like comparing guys. I just think we got two guys here, and we're going to let them keep playing. Obviously, I know a lot more about Cody than I do about Kevin. So, it's not an indictment on Cody by any stretch. It's just that we have a open spot, and there was a young man out there that we have a little history with. We wanted to give him opportunity here.
Is he on your radar? During the draft, was Kevin?
Yes, he was. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Is that through Pep?
Through Pep.
About, we know.
Yeah, because he knows him, and then on top of that, you know, evaluating him. So we have some history with him.
You think it's important to always have a quarterback on the practice squad?
Maybe not always, but I think until we're totally settled, you know, for years to come, I think it's important to always keep looking and keep evaluating.
Consistency is an important ingredient for your team. What do you do as a coach to display consistency as a coach?
I think because I like I said earlier, I try to be the same every day. You know, there's not much change in me, whether good or bad. It can't be, you know, because those guys are going to follow my lead, and I get that. And this organization is going to follow my lead. So we got a lot to do, and that means that I only want to win every game. Yeah, I think you guys all know that. So I'm going to be very consistent in my approach to our football team and to what we're doing. What we need to do is start getting the results that we all desire.
Hugh, how do you talk about the five waiver pickups being totally new and you don't know what you can do with them just yet? But Pi is a guy who's been in the league.
Yes, sir.
Is that different?
Yeah, it's a little different because we get to see him, you know, in live action against NFL players on tape. All these guys, you know, some of them are young and some of them have played, you know, but again, they got to learn our system, understand what we're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do, and I don't know how fast because I haven't coached them and our other coaches haven't coached them to see how fast they can get up to speed. So we'll find that out here pretty soon.
Hugh, you talk about obviously expecting to win every game, mm-hmm. but also having a very young team and knowing that, you know, patience is required. How do you balance those two things?
I don't know how to do that. I just don't. You know, like I said, I mean, I have an expectation, and I'm not backing down from that, and I'm not changing that thought process in our players. That's just what we're going to do, and we're going to find a way to do it. I don't know how it's going to happen. By hook or by crook, we're going to get this done. We have to. That's all I know. I don't know anything else.
Hugh, there was a report, Bleacher Report, that you're worried about processing speed.
Well, I don't know where you guys get those reports from. That sure didn't come from me. I mean, I'm really surprised that things like that get said because, again, I know one time it was reported that, whoa, he's holding the ball too long. That's so far from the truth, that's not even funny. So, I mean, unless somebody's in our meetings with us and understand what we're trying to do, then I think somebody can make that comment. But that's not the case at all. He's had a tremendous preseason. Now he needs to go do it in a regular season, and we'll go from there.
Hey, Hugh, we haven't talked on things since the Gilbert trade. How disappointed are you that you guys and the other administration too, but that you guys just couldn't get him to be the player that he probably has?
You know, at the end of the day, I don't think it's important. He's not on our team now. You know, he's in Pittsburgh and we wish him well. Now I think it's important to talk about the guys that are here.
Anything else? Can inexperience be an advantage in any way?
Yes, it can be, you know, because they're not you know, NFL-ized, you know, they haven't been in the National Football League. I think some of our guys just going to go play, you know, and I think that's what we have to do as a football team. We can't get worried about anything, you know. That's why I say it's not really about Philadelphia. It's really about us and how we prepare and our process and how we get ready to go play this football game. I think that's what's most important. Thank you very much.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. I almost said head quarterback. Head coach Hugh Jackson getting ready to start the season against Philadelphia when we come back. ClevelandBrowns.com senior writer, the one, the only, Sir Andrew Gribble in studio here on CBD. We'll take your calls together, 216-578-0850. We'll talk about this 53-man roster, the practice squad, and getting ready to face the Philadelphia Eagles on week number one, Sunday, September the 11th. Carson Wentz will be starting. A lot has changed in the NFL. Somehow it always seems to affect the Browns. Sam Bradford gets traded. Who does it affect? The Browns. Carson Wentz starts after the Browns said, we didn't want Carson Wentz. Well, see what happens on Sunday. Secrets anymore.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Sir Andrew Gribble. Gribbs, what do you think over this weekend? New 53.
Bless you.
Good God, I tried to get that out so fast. I felt it coming. I got to the 53, and then I just turned it over to Gribbs.
I don't think there were too many surprises on the 53. Maybe like a couple guys who are fringe kind of back end of the depth chart kind of guys that you could have gone either way with. But I think the big takeaway from this weekend was then you go out and get five guys on waivers. I mean, that's a big number.
Most
in the NFL. And you don't know which one of those guys are going to have an impact right away. I would envision George Atkinson potentially being the one I would pencil in as likeliest to be active on Sunday, simply because he's a running back and also has the ability to return kicks, which is something he expects to do, whether it be this week or some point in the future here. So clearly just a lot of just the process of getting this 53, I think they realized went beyond what they had on the field throughout August,
right,
to fill out the bottom of this roster. And they've seen some good talent elsewhere that they hope can be maybe like an Austin Pastore last year who didn't fit in at Jacksonville but served a pretty valuable role here.
You mentioned Atkinson, but and I guess my question is to continue every single one of the new Browns, who do you think besides Atkinson could also have an impact at least immediately in the first couple games?
Well, I just think from a numbers standpoint, you look at Corey Lemonnier, I mean, you're just low on pass rushers. And I think he's filling that role that you have on defense where you have Ogba, Schobert, Orchard, and that's pretty much just him at that point. So I think he's going to be pushed into action just almost by default at this point based on how you drop the schemes and things like that. And then you look at the two defensive backs. I think that this team needs potentially a fourth or fifth defensive back, the cornerback that they're going to use. And I believe Burley's dealing with an injury, so it would be the other guy. I don't know how the proper pronunciation.
Brian Body Calhoun.
Yeah, he would be potentially someone
that
could step in and have a role
Brian.
Pretty quickly, especially if you're
Brian. It is on the pronunciation guide. It is Brian. Brian Body Calhoun.
We'll call him Brian.
I'm not
going to
call him.
See, so, yeah, if you're going to nickel dime and maybe have some injuries, I mean, those are guys that might have to force to step in right away.
Practice squad, a lot of familiar faces. Six guys back, including Pilardi, but Connor Hamlet, Terrell Watson, some of them. Kevin Hogan, the one that kind of, I'd say, probably opened the most eyeballs. What's the story there?
It's just a matter of, well, he didn't make it. I believe he was in Kansas City. I think that had to do with them signing Nick Foles. That probably pushed him back in terms of the plans. They also got rid of Aaron Murray as well there last week. So Hugh Jackson just said that they like to keep evaluating quarterbacks. I think there's some familiarity with Hogan from Pep Hamilton.
Sure.
I think Hugh knows a little bit about the Pac-12 as well. And I think he's someone that was always pegged as a pro-style quarterback ever since he started games at Stanford. Never really lived up to that hype, and I think then kind of fell in the draft due to some, I think, mechanics and things like that. So maybe someone you can work with, have as a practice squad kind of quarterback, scout team quarterback, and maybe that helps Cody get some more reps outside of the practice squad. We'll see how it works over these couple weeks. This could be here 1 week, and then you're
sure.
Back to Cody running scout team. So probably just jumped on the opportunity to get him in here and then maybe see if you catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, roster construction really, you know, made up most of the Labor Day weekend. Today is, you know, the players' day off. This is also the big game planning day for Ray Horton, Pep Hamilton, Hugh Jackson, and the word of Carson Wentz being the open day starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll turn that page. What did you make of that news, and does it change how we go to Philly and the, you know, the optimism we have around getting our first win in a season opener in a long time?
Well, as the players and coaches will tell you, it has had no effect. But I think from my personal perspective, it should. I mean, it should offer some encouragement because this is not only this guy's first NFL start in a regular season game. I mean, he barely played in the preseason. And I wonder, it's just interesting to make this sudden decision, and they've clearly upset Chase Daniel in the process.
Yeah.
For him getting skipped over, he's made no bones about that as well. And you just wonder how ready he's going to be, and not only just from the whole gravity of being a rookie in its first start, but he's also was dealing with a rib injury. I mean, throughout the preseason. So I don't want to, you know, rule out any sort of great performance from Carson Wentz, but this gives your defense, this should excite you. Look back at what the Browns defense last year was not very good,
right,
in most games. They looked great against Marcus Mariota and the Titans that week two, early in the season when he was still figuring things out. Their line wasn't all that good, and really he was struggling with the ball and everything. He was holding on to it too long. And the Browns had 7 sacks in that game. So you've got to take advantage of the situation, and certainly you hope that you can get that out of a defense that is very young, but still I think that Nassib and Agba, they're feeling more comfortable in their spots than Wentz might feel week one in his spot.
Carson Wentz only showed up and was able to play in one game in the preseason. They didn't think he was ready for the first preseason game, or the first one, I'm sorry, is the one he played in, which was against Tampa Bay. In that game, he was 12 of 24 for 89 yards, one interception, a quarterback rating of 41.8. In that game, he suffered the rib injury. He did not play in the second preseason game, the third preseason game, the fourth preseason game, and now he's going to start here against the Cleveland Browns. And again, there's been, you know, the comments that were made about their view on him as a franchise quarterback, but this has to be as favorable a situation and as probably the best chance for this Browns team to get that opening day victory that we've seen in forever.
And they've got some issues on the offensive line, too. They just made a trade for an offensive lineman today with the Patriots, getting rid of a draft pick from the Chip Kelly area to shore that up. I believe Lane Johnson will be out of this game. Is that correct? I mean, with his suspension, I mean, that's a big loss. So I think the key, it starts off with, and this is boring, but you just got to make sure that Ryan Matthews doesn't have a career game running all over you. I mean, that's where it starts, because that if he gets going, that makes things so much easier for Carson Wentz, who's, you know, they've got some good players, but he's not exactly surrounded by great weapons on that offense. I mean, you just have to make things difficult, take away as much as you can that running attack, and put it all on Carson Wentz to try to win that game, because the more pressure he puts on himself, the harder it's going to be for a rookie in his first
and time. That's something that Nathan and I discussed, and he kind of asked that question to me, like, and I kind of volunteered some information as well on how you prepare for a guy that hasn't taken but a, you know, handful of snaps in the preseason in only one football game before getting injured. So then my question to you is then, where do you think they go? Do they go back to Doug Peterson, Kansas City? Or do you basically take a glimpse of everything they tried to accomplish in this preseason to get for the Cleveland Browns to get a grasp on what Carson Wentz is going to look like in this offense?
It's tough because, again, you're dealing with, what, 24 throws that he had, and I don't know how many snaps he ultimately had. So I imagine you break down every single one of those as much as possible. I don't think they're going to be running much of what he did at North Dakota State, because that was a kind of a unique setup.
Correct.
So I think you've got to look at what they do in Kansas City, because I think Alex Smith and Wentz maybe have that similar mobility, that sneaky ability to pick up first downs in chunks running the ball. I mean, Smith is a guy that had a big run against the Browns last year and always kind of sneaks in there with 35, 40 rushing yards per game, depending on the situation. So that's something you got to be aware of with Wentz. I mean, he can take advantage of those opportunities. So that's the one thing I focus on with him, and then just bringing as much pressure as you possibly can. I know it was an issue for the Browns throughout the preseason, but you've got to find ways to make his life miserable out there, force him into quick decisions, and then pounce on those opportunities with turnovers and change the course of the game.
Yeah, and I think even furthermore, it's, you know, getting Joe Hayden back and having him ready for week one and having him comfortable, Tremont Williams being the next guy off the bench. You got Jamar Taylor. It's the mix and match and the cat and mouse game that they can play defensively is have it look like something and rotate to something else. You now have seasoned vets that have got many years in the National Football League, maybe not the safety position, but at least the corner position, to give Carson Wentz some false looks and then be able to roll your coverage around as well. That should work into our favor too.
And I kind of like the matchup of Hayden versus Jordan Matthews. I feel like that's a receiver he's kind of had, the type of receiver he's had success with in the past, really shutting those kind of guys down. Well, I like that. That give that advantage to the Browns, and hopefully if you can shut him off, makes things easier on their side.
It's going to be interesting though to see if he does cover him, because Jordan Matthews lines up pretty much exclusively in the slot, so that could be Tremont Williams on that cover. But I think that's a good matchup for Tremont as well, because it's not a foot speed guy and it's somebody that he should do very well. I think this is a game which I think will be rare, where I feel pretty good about our defensive backs against their offensive weapons. I think a big matchup is going to be Zach Ertz, their tight end, who's very talented going against our young safeties. But you hit the nail on the head. It's about slowing down Ryan Matthews. The thing that I find fascinating about this is, remember, coming out of Philly, it was said that Carson Wentz wasn't going to play at all this year. He wasn't even going to be active at all this year. And now he's starting week one. I can't imagine. Not only is he coming to this game with only 38 NFL snaps under his belt, which were all in preseason game number one, I can't imagine he got any reps with the first team at all.
No.
Sam Bradford was getting all those reps. Chase Daniel was with the twos. He was with the threes. And all of a sudden, they've just decided, boom, you're going straight to number one. It's not like he's a veteran who's been around the league that's done this before. he hasn't worked. He doesn't have timing with Jordan Matthews yet or Zach Ertz yet. He hasn't worked with those guys.
It's an unconventional move that is surprising considering that the Eagles have one of the earliest buys in the entire season of anyone. I believe they have a week four bye week where they could have maybe made this switch if that's the direction they ultimately wanted to go, get him ready for week five. I mean, you look back, that was the move everyone kind of projected the Browns to make in 2014 with that early bye week and the Hoyer-Manziel situation. That's why I was surprised by this move, but it just seems like you wonder if this was something they'd been talking about behind the scenes and then revealed to it. If I'm Wentz, I wouldn't want to – I would feel like if I had a rib injury in the preseason, I would already been told I wasn't going to be playing in this regular season. I might have been checked out a little bit, you know, mentally from the day-to-day on how to get ready for this upcoming opponent or how to install this package with this first team
plastic clipboard
offense.
Or wooden clipboard.
Yeah,
you know, those are the decisions that he had throughout training camp.
And based on the fact that Chase Daniel has made no bones about how upset he is about this situation, makes me believe that wasn't discussed, or at least it wasn't shared with Chase Daniel that was going to be the plan going forward. So everything works to favor the Browns, but if the Browns defense performs like it did in Tampa Bay, it can't expect to get the best of Carson Wentz. He's an NFL player. He can take advantage of that situation. The defense still has to just be better in the preseason.
Like it did in practice in Tampa Bay, you'd be onto something there for the Browns. Gribbs, it obviously, by the way, some of our listeners have told us Lane is appealing a suspension, says he will play in game number one unless the suspension comes before that. So perhaps he will be out there for the
There's
Eagles.
Also some folks speculating that the trade was made today because they might expect a decision to the negative in regards to that in the coming days. So I guess they're shoring up just in case.
Just in case. Well, that would be another guy that Carson Wentz had never worked with who could potentially be on his offensive line as they made that trade with the Patriots today. It's an interesting situation. I think it's a unique situation. I know a lot of teams have wanted, for example, Seattle had signed Matt Flynn. They drafted Russell Wilson. They wanted to bring him along slowly, but he just flat out won the job. Same thing was down in Jacksonville. They had Chad Henne and Blake Bortles, and Henne struggled, and they just decided to go with them. Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr with Matt Schaub, similar situations. This isn't one where he's come out and won the job per se. They traded Sam Bradford and said, hey, if we're just going for it, we might as well just go for it, and they're sticking him in there. He's not going to have had many reps with this team. This is the best chance. If the Browns defense struggles in this game, it will be, I think you will be, I will be very concerned. Would you be very concerned at that point?
Yeah, and I'm not expecting kind of just you want to just be good enough. I mean, just keep your offense in the game and keep this thing close, and then let Robert Griffin III and his offensive weapons have a chance in the fourth quarter to make plays and win the game. I think that's the thing. You look back at last year's season opener in New York. The game just got out of hand too fast, and then you lost your quarterback, and it just felt over by the early part of the third quarter. You just can't let it spiral out of control, especially with a team that has so many young players. You want to keep their heads in the game, locked in, and confident that they can make it happen in the second half.
And I think a message that Hugh Jackson and both coordinators will have this week is a fast start. Because you're going on the road. You talked about them being, you know, a young football team. This is their first true business trip on the road. And I think that Hugh Jackson's going to hold them accountable to everything that comes with it being a business trip. And then get out the gates fast. It's mix those disguises, you know, on Carson Wentz. Get some pressure on him. Get him rattled. And have our offense go get some points. And put a rookie quarterback who's played 38 snaps, thrown, you know, wasn't even that great, and has been sitting on his butt for an awful long time, taking mental reps, down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. Have him play from behind somewhere he's never played from before in an NFL uniform. Those are all situations that put us in good standing to finish the job and continue to play through the fourth quarter and only give our young players more optimism and more success to keep them grinding to get that first W for Hugh Jackson.
And I think the margin of error is slim for the Browns defense because
yes.
As much as many don't believe the Eagles are going to be anywhere near the playoffs this year, they still have a really good defense.
Yes.
And I think that this is maybe a tougher defense than the Browns even saw throughout the entire preseason, if you want to evaluate it that way. I think that they're low, especially on the defensive line. They're going to give some problems to the Browns in the middle and on the edge. So you've got to go into this game expecting you got to hold this team below 20 points to have a chance to win this game.
I mean, what did I say?
They score 20, any
more than 20, we lose.
Yeah. I mean, I would predict if you're predicting a Browns victory, I would think it would have to be something along the lines of a 20-14 or 21-17 type type deal. I don't think this will get high scoring. This won't be Ole Miss, Florida State. This will be low scoring defense.
Texas football. Notre Dame.
Well, and the Browns still on the offensive side. You know, this is Corey Coleman's first NFL game after a less than stellar preseason after his very hot start training camp. Terrell Pryor still very much a work raw. In progress, very raw. This will be his first opportunity to play a full game. You've got Andrew Hawkins, a veteran there, who should provide some stability in the slot. You've got Barnage, and then you've got this ground game. But, yeah, this is a tough front that they're going to face of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to have to be able to run the ball with Crow and Duke if they want to win.
Yeah, and the key thing is you don't have Josh Gordon either, who was one of your top players in these last two preseason games. It seemed like Griffin and him had really good chemistry. Now you've got to reestablish that with Pryor and with Coleman in their kind of top roles. And I want to see four quarters out of this offense too. It's just something we just haven't seen yet. And you haven't seen it really out of the defense either. You want to see how they hold up, how they mentally and physically hold up and keep going. Because I think this is a group of playmakers that even without Gordon can give Philadelphia some problems, but you don't want them to get beaten down and totally out of it if they have a couple three and outs early.
And the one thing that Hugh Jackson prides himself on is his ability to call a game and draw up a game plan. And we have not seen
any of that
in the preseason. This will be his first opportunity.
My favorite part of football.
So.
Every single wide receiver that has talked to the media in the last couple weeks has mentioned the fact that they have not shown anything yet. That they've shown a lot in the preseason, but they haven't shown the good stuff. That seems like what the indication was. I think unprompted, Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, all those guys have talked about how they expect these really good game plans going into week one. So this will be the first opportunity, and you'd hope the week one would be something real good.
You certainly do. Gribbs, what can people expect as they get ready for this game? ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app.
Well, it's the first game week of the season, so we're just going to have nonstop coverage. It starts tomorrow pretty early with locker room at about 11:15 a.m., so a little bit of a different schedule this year, which will mean more content earlier in the week than it was last year.
All right. That'll do it for Sir Andrew Gribble. Follow him on Twitter at @Andrew_Gribble. When we come back, Matt Wilhelm will talk about what it would be like if he were still in the league and he were game planning for Carson Wentz, what to expect from the Browns standpoint when they go in these meeting rooms, and how prepared for exotic blitzes and zone blitzes can Carson Wentz be coming from North Dakota State, not working against the first team of the Eagles yet, and basically having 38 snaps. What can Ray Horton and company do to really give the Browns an advantage in this game? We'll talk about that when we return. We'll also hear from RG3, who joined Mike and Mike this morning. We'll have some sound from that, and we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And folks, visit Wayside Furniture in Akron and enter to win six luxury Loge seats and new flex steel furniture. Details are at wayside-furniture.com. Again, details at wayside-furniture.com. More CBD after this.